This morning we have with us two wonderful individuals who have literally, you guys are kind of, you know, I don't know how to describe this, but Bo and Cindy Buck are not one to toot their own horn, and yet you guys have accomplished so much, not only in the world of wellness, but in the world of athletic ability. And I literally been looking forward to this morning for many, many weeks, because as an avid skier, I'm not an athletic person, but when it comes to snow skiing, I'm there 100%. But you guys really allow people that are out there in the world that maybe are not athletic, that you guys are raising the bar. And I'm anxious and curious to find out what, when you look at your background, international rugby player and ski instructor, and I'm sure there's a lot of other accolades that you're going to share with us, how did you guys merge what you were doing with NECAN? And I don't care, Bo, Cindy, whoever wants to, you know, jump in here, we'll go from there. So how did you guys come across NECAN?
Good morning. I'll probably start, Vance, because I was the one that learned about NECAN first. Thanks very much for having us on the call.
My pleasure.
Well, basically, from what we were doing, from me playing rugby, Cindy skiing, more me playing rugby, because as I said, I was the first one that was introduced to the products, that's how we got introduced to NECAN. I became injured at an international rugby tournament. I was a to play against South Africa the next day, and then a practice. Somebody had kneed me in the quad, and I had gotten a large Charlie horse or green crippler, whatever you call it. And somebody lent me a mag boy. And they said, I had had one of these injuries before in football in college, and it took seriously about 2 to 3 weeks before I was able to really run and play again at full pace. And this guy let me a bag boy and says, Bo, you know, have at it tonight for about an hour and a half, or however long you can roll it on your leg while you're watching a movie tonight. And I just said, well, I've had one of these before, but I'll try it. I want to play. So I used the bag boy for about an hour and a half watching a movie, and when it was done, I put it on the bedside table, felt my quad, it was still totally engorged, and I kind of laughed at myself and said, well, you know, I tried, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And woke up the next morning to find out that my muscle was totally supple and I was able to play full pace against South Africa.
Wow. Now, you said your normal recovery time for something like that would be weeks?
2 to 3 weeks, yes.
Okay.
And that was obviously impressive to me, and I wanted to buy this little device from my friend and called him many times out in California after we had gotten back from the tour. And he never returned my call, and I never got a mag boy from him, and that was frustrating for me, but that was for almost a year.
just to set the record straight, because, you know, I got to play devil's advocate here. Someone could say, you know, well, you know, normally if you're playing sports, especially something like rugby, you're going to be in your teens or in early 20s. What was your age when this took place?
Well, when that took place, I was 36.
Okay.
And then as time went on, and I'll just tell you quickly a little story about actually getting into NECAN, but basically I was playing with the U.S. team over in Europe up to about 39 years old.
Okay.
And I was playing with our club side here in America and won 6 national championships through 43 years of age.
And rugby is not exactly a wimpy sport, is it?
Well, it's not necessarily a wimpy sport, but usually you're looking at people from about 19 to 30, max 33, that are playing, and to have been able to continue to play at that level for that many years was awesome for me. I really had a tremendous experience with it. There's no doubt that without the NECAN products that I just could not have continued on. I had back issues, and the sleep system basically took them away, and the sleep system helped me tremendously with recovery after trainings that normally I think someone at my age wouldn't have been able to handle.
Now, and for those of us who are not as familiar, because it's really not an American sport, rugby is, for all intents and purposes, much like the National Football League, but you guys don't wear any pads or helmets.
Kind of, yeah.
But and it's much more aggressive because you're not just making a play and then waiting for a ref to blow a whistle and then set up for the next play. It's more out all of more like soccer in a sense.
Yeah, it's and two all minute halves, no substitutions, continuous play.
Okay, fun. So recovery time would normally, especially as our bodies age, and I think it's interesting to point out here. You said you were in your latter 30s here. So you discovered Nikan a few years after that initial experience.
Yeah, a year after that I discovered Nikan in an interesting little play or whatever, but when I got involved in Nikan, basically I just did sales. I called my friends, told them what great experiences I've had, and for about a year I just did it on the side, doing retail sales and thinking that I'd get the silver somehow. We became bronze through just the retail sale model, but I was in the seafood importing business also, and that was taking up my time, and I was making pretty good money. So then after about a year, our sponsor, Lynette Richardson, challenged us to go to a Team Diamond event.
Uh-huh.
And basically what she told Cindy, which is what Cindy wanted to hear, and she can elaborate on this, was that if she came to this event and didn't like what she heard about Nikan, they would never talk to her about Nikan again.
That's always an easy way out, using one introductory opportunity as the scapegoat.
Well, Cindy should tell you a little bit about that situation.
Okay. Cindy?
Can you guys hear me? I'm bobbing in and out of...
Hear you loud and clear. And Cindy, again, a little bit about your background when this crazy magnet company entered your life.
Well, briefly, we had moved back from Boston, doing the corporate thing back there. We were really looking for something that we could bring here and have a kind of lifestyle that we wanted to live here in the mountains, which was why the whole idea why we were moving away from the city and back to the mountains. So, we were really looking for something, and I was teaching skiing, and Bo was importing seafood, and he was, I lost you guys for a little bit. Did he tell you about the kind of responsibility he had with the seafood company?
Not really. I'm guessing that it was such that it weighed heavy on you as well.
Well, he basically managed hundreds of millions of dollars of product and got paid a six-figure income, so if these guys could make millions and... You know, he did all the work. He was the little guy at the bottom doing all the work, so the guys at the top could make all the money. So anyway, we had this beautiful house, beautiful kids, great lifestyle. The kids and I did. But Bo was a heart attack waiting to happen. And I looked at him at his little office behind our kitchen one day, and he had six lines ringing, and you know, just going full on. And I thought, I have got to ride up on my white horse and rescue my husband from corporate America, because I'd rather have a little house and a husband than a big house and no husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I really knew that stress was going to kill Bo if we didn't do something. So I was looking for something, and I tried, you know, starting some businesses on my own, but there was no way that I was going to be able to replace a six-figure income with those businesses. So he went down to Bermuda, had this crazy product experience, came back, tried to buy the product. The guy never returned his phone call because his priority was winning, you know, playing good rugby, not selling Bo a Magboy. And so 11 months later, he told you how he was introduced to the business, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he came home after he did his due diligence and he wanted to start this crazy magnet business. And I found out it was network marketing, and I think, I don't know if he told you that we had done at that point network marketing unsuccessfully six other times in Boston. We'd never sponsored one person, and we'd never made more than $100. So I knew we were...
You were not looking for a network marketing company when you said you were investigating. Kevin, you were looking for a conventional business, much like, what were some of the things that you were, entertaining the idea of hooking up with?
Well, I started an interior design business, and the idea was that you closed your eyes and imagined your space, and we would create that look with tile and fabric and furniture and color and whatever. And so it really turned into more of a hand-painted tile business, and it took a lot of time, and it was really basically the life of a starving artist. I mean, I worked one summer on this one project for this home in Chicago, and I spent, oh, I don't even know, 12 hours a day for several days, all summer, so 3 months, and I might have made, I don't know, a couple $1,000s. It was ridiculous. You know, there was a big learning curve. I didn't have a, you know, I didn't understand what the was going to happen to the glazes when you got them into the kiln. And, you know, I remember spending an inordinate amount of time on this one project and only to fire them. And I had done over glazes on a pre-glazed tile. And when I opened the kiln, all of the hand painting that I had done on these tiles, hundreds of them, had dribbled off down into the bottom of the kiln and they were blank again. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, so those are the kind of experiences we were having. And when
a little bit more open to the idea. Was there some special hook besides what Lynette said, or Lynette Richardson said about, you know, you just go and if you don't, then I won't bring it up again? Or what was the hook for you?
The hook was that, I mean, I saw Bo running around because I was, you know, I thought I knew everything about network marketing, and this is how it happens with every company. And what happens is you invest all your hard-earned money, you run around and talk to your friends and family, you put your heart out, you really start to dream big, and then you get your dreams stomped on by a company that just doesn't deliver.
Yeah.
Or maybe on your lack of experience and no guidance, no training and support. That was another. So I was waiting for that to happen again because it had happened six other times. Not that we really applied ourselves in the other network marketing companies. But we didn't know what to do, and we didn't have any guidance.
Okay.
So, you know, we've both had coaches our whole lives, and, you know, we've had, we can figure stuff out if we're just given a little guidance. Tell me what to do, and I'll master it, you know. But if I don't know what to do, I can't master it. So anyway, Bo showed me one of his biggest checks from Niken, which was like a $1,300 check, and he was really excited about that check. The trouble was our mortgage was $6,000 at that point. And I'm like, honey, yeah, $1,300 Niken check is a really good accomplishment, but it does not pay the bills. This is not the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So Lynette made that challenging phone call and said, you guys go to Kansas City, check out this thing top to bottom, and if you don't like what you see, I will never talk to you about Niken again. And those were the selling words.
Yeah, how did you guys know Lynette at that time?
Lynette was... She raised her kids with us. She's my parents' age.
Okay.
And she, her husband was the president of the Aspen Skiing Company back in the 70s when my dad was the vice president of marketing.
Ah.
So he had a ton of credibility. Tom did as a businessman. But Lynette was the one that was building the business, and she didn't have a lot of business credibility, but she's a wonderful person. So, you know, I hate to say that, but if Tom had talked to you about business, I might have listened more, I'm not making any kind of sexist comments, but I just knew that she had been a wife and a mother and a volunteer, and she's an incredible woman, but what the heck does she know about paying our bills, you know? What about paying our bills? And I was extremely defensive in that department because, it's important for us to raise our family correctly.
So, Cindy, from the get-go, you were literally looking at as a business opportunity. You weren't looking at it as a kind of a fun hobby or something that we could, you know, put products on people to get a great experience and get some, you know, touchy-feely kudos. You were looking for a viable business.
I was looking for a viable business that could replace my husband's six-figure burden.
Okay.
And I did not think that that was Niken.
Okay.
And then when I went to the time event in Kansas City, I listened to the people from stage. I was touched by their heart and soul. I was touched by not only were they making more money than they needed for their families, but what they were doing with the extra money was making a difference in the world. They weren't out bragging about their fancy cars and fancy houses and, you know, you two can make $1 million a year. You just work 2 hours a day and, you know, all that baloney. They were starting reading programs. They were adopting foster children. They were, you know, doing stuff for the environment. You know, they were really, you know, developing programs or supporting programs that were making a difference in the world. And that was the bait that just, that I absolutely took. And then I thought, well, you know, these people are, the other thing I have to say, which, you know, I hope I don't offend anybody, but, you know, brass tack reality in a business, you have to make money or you go out of business. And so one of the guys came on stage and he said, I've got a question for you. Dave Johnson got in this business to make an extra $5,000 a month. Last month his check was $200,000. My question for you is, what would you do with an extra $195,000 a month you really didn't need? And my brain, you know, Julie Teller had challenged me to dream that weekend. And so I thought that I should give it a shot, you know. And I couldn't even fathom $195,000 extra a month. I couldn't even do the math. So I thought, what about $195,000 extra a year? And I started playing with that idea. And I got really excited because I thought, I've never had an opportunity to make that kind of money. I've always worked really hard, I've done really well in whatever I've done, but I've never had an opportunity to make that kind of money.
Yeah.
So what the heck,
yeah.
You know? Then I thought, well, these guys might be pretty slick in the front of the room. I better, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I've, you know, looked at the top, now I've got to look at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So there were about 7,000 people coming out of the stadium, and I randomly interviewed over 100 people. And I said to them, I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care what level you are because I don't even know how that works. But I want to know how what these products have done for you.
Okay.
And I heard story after story after story after story of how these products were enhancing people's lives and bringing them, you know, much better quality of life.
Okay.
So... And I'm looking at these people's eyes, and I'm watching their skin, and I'm listening to their voice, and they're genuine comments. Maybe, you know, some of these people were Academy Award winners, but there was no way they were all faking it.
You know what continues to fascinate me, because you guys are, you've been at this long enough to know, exactly like you said, you can't have this many people faking it. You know, it's the real thing, or else they're auditioning to go into the movie-making industry, and yet these products change people's lives. And this company, when you get in and embrace, and as you said, all the different things people were doing, and it's not to really pay tribute to all those different things they were doing, because those are just things, you know, but, you know, a major motivator, the second most popular motivator for anyone to do anything is because they're part of a cause. And I really believe that when people embrace and you understand what the five pillars of health is all about, it's more than just a philosophy or a great motto or something that, you know, we can put some fancy words on the wall, but, you know, healthy mind, body, family, finances, and society. We have an opportunity to live a life of balance that doesn't exist when you're in that corporate America setting. It's exactly like you said, that Bo was making, you know, millions of dollars for the people, and yet they're giving him, you know, just kind of a very small portion of that. Bo, I want to bounce back to you. When you had your Bronze experience, what were your thoughts with this Kansas City experience? Because you're there. At that point, you had already started in the business, because if you're putting, you know, an extra $1,300 check into your account from Nikon, something was going on. That doesn't happen just on accident. So what was that changing point for you that caused you to realize that we really need to get more focused 100%? Or were you already there and just waiting for Cindy to come along?
No, I wasn't already there. I was kind of getting, the retail thing wasn't really what I understood as to what network marketing was supposed to be. So that Kansas City event got me excited enough to do some of the things that the people on stage were talking about, and that was becoming a student of network marketing.
Okay.
And starting to call our upline, well, obviously reading books, calling our upline, and getting some direction. And
now, were these things, Bo, because Cindy had mentioned mentioned you guys had been in several other companies before. Did you not ever take part in the regular, you know, School of Network Marketing things prior?
Well, we didn't because basically we would invest our $5,000 and get our water machines and put them in the garage, and we'd go and sell a couple of them, but the people that sponsored us didn't really sponsor us. They just signed us up, and we basically never heard from them again or saw them again.
So there's a responsibility factor when you introduce someone to NECN that it's not just about a one-time product sale. We actually have an opportunity to invest in them and to nurture that relationship so we can find out what they want out of it and bring them along.
I agree, except for I would really, instead of saying an opportunity, which is a good choice, more importantly, really a responsibility.
An obligation.
Correct.
Sure, sure. Okay, so you guys, you relocate from Boston, and I have to bring us up to speed here, up to 2007. You total relocate to Aspen. It's like, you know, night and day here, going from... So that was fun. But making that transition, and when did you see things really start to take off with your NECN business so that, you know, you realized that, hey, this could be the full-fledged career that I was looking for?
Cindy, you there?
I think we might have lost her.
Yeah, she's going through a...
No, I'm here.
Oh, there she is.
So I'm looking for that thing when things started to, you guys come back home from Kansas City, you realized, okay, I mean, you just jump in with both feet, started talking to everybody that you came in contact with, everybody that could fog a mirror. What was the key?
Well, in Kansas City, they made it very clear that if you wanted to be serious in this business, if you wanted to be a leader in this business, you had to go silver. So, you know, we said, all right, let's go silver. And we didn't even, you know, we had no idea how we were going to do that. We just knew we had to have 20,000 points in one calendar month. And, you know, we already had like 15 seniors on our front line. They were all wholesale buyers, but, you know, we already had the structure in place. You know, we knew how to sell, so we basically went out and sold $20,000 worth of product. And we were silver. Now, did we do it the right way? I don't know. We got it done. So then we say, now what do we do? And then they said, now you got to help three other people go silver. So then we helped a frontline person go silver, and then two of her people go silver in the next 3 months. And they go, now what do I do? What do they do? And they go, well, you got silvers, but you got to get in the front line to go gold. Oh, okay. So, you know, we just kind of figured it out as we went along, full speed ahead. You know, ignorance on fire for sure.
Sure. Okay. And there obviously was a transition, and I have to refer to something that Rick Murphy said years ago, because I never heard anybody say it quite like this, and it wasn't so much the eloquence of it, it was just the fact that he made that transition. A lot of what you guys have alluded to is that when you build up your NECN business to the point where you're actually paying your bills with that commission check every single month, that's the point, that's the transition, that's the moment at that point that you literally have a business. And that your income is not just to repay your investment, because it would be one thing to say, okay, we come on board, and Bo, you mentioned the fact that, you know, with these other companies, you bought $5,000 worth of product and sets in the garage. Well, what makes NECN so unique is that we're not buying inventory. We're buying actual demo products, which is still a 100% tax write-off, but it's not sitting in the garage. It's in, you know, the only products really, the NECN products that set in the garage and the NECN car that they pay for. So we're not investing in that. What, I guess the thought goes through my mind that you guys make this transition, and sorry, I'm losing my train of thought because I know that's not your voice, Bo, talking. So real quick, little technical break here. If you're on the call this morning, if you could push mute on your phone or hit *6. That'll mute out your live. If your name is not Bo or Cindy Buck, because I'm hearing another voice there, and I know it's not Bo, and I know Cindy's voice isn't that deep. So, make my fantasy go to a whole new level. What have you guys seen that has been that thing. Now, you guys are part of the President's Club. You're part of the Auto Home Program, so there's all these other perks that you get to enjoy. What are some of those things that, now, Cassini, you said you interviewed, you know, countless, you know, hundreds of people or whatever it was, over 100 people, to hear their product experience. Besides your own, you know, Bo talked about his own physical experience with the products. What are some of the things that you got, some of the things that you guys have been able to do as far as introducing the products to people, and some of the just the wow story, even remembering back however long or short they were ago, that makes you realize that, you know, if it was just that one experience, it would have all been worth it.
Well, I can answer that. When I started sleeping better personally, and the one product experience that really opened my eyes when I think about it was that I would try to do an hour and a half hike in an hour, and I tripped and I hit my hip bone on a rock, and I got a big bruise on my hip bone, and I, you know, came down. This was before I was in the business, and I sarcastically said to Bo, "Here's a test for your magnet." And he gave me a little mini magnet, and I duct taped it to the center of my bruise. And I don't know if it was the next day or the day after, but I peeked underneath this magnet to see what was going on, and there was a skin color circle, and all around it was this purple skin, and where I pushed where the magnet was, it didn't hurt at all, no tenderness. All around it was extremely tender. And right then, I thought, what the heck's going on? This, you know, my body's going to heal anyway, but somehow my body's healing faster with this magnet. And that was the clincher for me. So I want to make that clear, because in the 9-10 years that we've been doing this business, very few life-altering, they're all life-altering, but very few super dramatic product experiences happen. I think if we have one or two super dramatic experiences personally, that is amazing, because you might have just saved somebody's life. But we can't go out expecting that, because we're going to get disappointed. Most of the experiences that people have are like the bruise, or the, you know, their knee hurts and now they can ski again, or they couldn't sleep and now they can sleep, or something like that. But when I did come back from Kansas City, my sister and my stepsister was the special needs teacher for a little boy that had MELOS, which is mitochondrial encephalitis, lactic acid, and stroke-like seizure episodes. Anyway, what that basically means is he had an energy problem, and he had a lot of lactic acid in his body. So I read the description of the disease, and I said, you know what, this stuff can't hurt him, but, you know, it really, let's see what happens if you're open. And this mother said, if this stuff could possibly help my son and you promise it won't hurt him, then let's try it. And so we left him with a sleep system and insoles, and that, you know, in those days, that's all we had. And so anyway, make a long story short, this kid slept through the night, the first night, for the first time in 3 years. His incontinence stopped overnight for the first time since he'd had this disease. After 3 months, you know, he had tremendous seizures. He spoke one-word sentences. He was in a wheelchair. I mean, he was completely puffy from the medication he was on. Anyway, after 3 months of being on the seat when he was in his wheelchair, and we made him a little magnetic headband, because at those days we didn't have one, made by Nikken, his seizures lessened. His curvature in his spine had completely gone back to normal, because he had no muscle strength. And then, so he's on all the products, basically living in our version of a wellness home back then. And after 6 months of being in this environment, sleeping through the night, he spoke a full sentence after 6 months.
Wow.
So this kid, that's allowing this kid's body to heal dramatically. And this kid was responding right before our eyes, like it was a miracle. And that was so life-changing for me. It motivated every single person on our team, because this was he became like all of our child.
Sure. This little boy. Sure. And how old was he at the time?
9 years old.
What did you say?
9 years old.
Okay, so it's not like, you know, this is just, he was just going to eventually get better, because at nine, pretty much, you know, especially with those symptoms and things that you're dealing with and that, you know, the diseases and conditions, it was pretty well set. That was the norm.
Right, and, that was the one driving force, you know, because this kid was none of these medical people. He'd been all over the country on helicopters, emergency helicopters, trying to save this little kid's life. And nobody really could do anything for him but put him on more drugs. And here we come along, you know, a ski instructor and a lady that works at the airport with really good intentions. And somehow this kid gets better because we were bold enough to open our mouths.
Yeah.
And so that was huge. And I'm going to tell you that the second part of the motivating factor of that story is that this kid got a respiratory infection. He didn't have the muscle power to get rid of the phlegm that was in his body. His mother had him upside down on the couch in their trailer because they'd spent most of their money trying to keep their son alive. And it wasn't working. So they flight for life him again. The kid took another helicopter ride to the Children's Hospital in Denver. The hospital was overcrowded, so they put Cody in a room with another boy, and he had a fungus in his lungs. Cody's immune system was suppressed, so he got the fungus in his lungs. They put him on more medication, and this 9-year-old boy died of kidney failure. So that was the second motivating factor, because this should have never happened. We were in shock. You know, the family was just devastated because this boy had come so far by being on the Nican products for 6 months. Then he goes back into the traditional medical system, and the system kills him. And so I thought, wow, you know what? I've heard all this stuff from these Nican people, and now I've experienced what can happen in a system that's really broken. And it's really, really important to keep people out of the system. And if people were taking more responsibility for their health and wellness, they wouldn't be in the system in the first place.
Sure.
Or only the people that really needed to be in the system would be in the system.
Sure.
So the reason why the system is so broken is that a lot of us aren't taking responsibility for our own health and wellness. So when we get sick, it's really hard for the doctors to get us back on track because they're not even working with a healthy vessel.
Now, I know that even in our current political debate, that, you know, healthcare is huge. And in the state of Oregon right now, one of the things we voted on a few weeks ago was a tax, and it failed, but it would have helped provide insurance for 110,000 kids that don't have insurance at this point. My wife and I sit and watch the news, and we're boggled for these insurance issues, and we're like, what's the problem, people? Why are we relying on somebody else to take care of our bodies? And it's like the statistic I read not too long ago, 88% of Americans feel that it's the government's job to do something about the obesity crisis we have in this country. And I'm like, the government's not making us eat. What's the problem here? But don't get me on my soapbox on that whole thing. You touched on something, and I want to hear Bo's take on this, because you literally, with that experience, you caused the people. We have to take ownership of our own health. So, Bo, what about for you, in the few minutes we have left, what's that driving thing that fuels your passion? Because, I mean, I know from being a weekend warrior, and you were much more than that. I mean, you had a regular profession, a career, but you were applying something because you enjoyed it and because the passion was there. What is the passion that keeps you going with Nican?
Well, Cindy had alluded a little bit to my corporate life, and as she had said, I had quite a bit of responsibilities and managed quite a few people and moved millions of dollars worth of product, but this was in the seafood importing business. What ended up happening in that business, unfortunately, we had started Nican before I got out of it, but bottom line was I had gotten so much going on that they were paying me a decent amount of money, and then what happens in corporate world is they find three people, two people, whatever,
that they can hire for the same amount of money and therefore get more production per se. And so it was a mutual agreement, but basically I was downsized out of this company and therefore out of the industry only because I didn't want to go back into it. And that really sparked me as to what the heck is going on in the world today with a father, or my stepfather was a corporate lawyer, and he had a pension, and they took care of that. And Cindy and I were fortunate enough in the beginning of my career in the seafood business, we had great health insurance where we paid $20 for each one of our children to be born, and now we pay thousands of dollars a year for our health insurance, which is just catastrophic insurance because we take care of ourselves. But, you know, if you get cancer or if you get in a car accident, you have to be covered. And I just think that what's going on in the corporate world today and how people are treated, it's a very oppressive place. And I get inspired to help people to get out of being oppressed. Now, there are great companies around there, and I'm not saying every corporation is a horrible place to be or whatever, but certainly somebody else has their hands on the keys to the system when you are working for a corporation. And I'm just not all about that anymore.
So you literally, Bo, you see NECAN as an opportunity to set people free. I mean, literally, to use the phrase, liberate the captive. And I'm recalling my own experience of, you know, 13 years ago, literally being able to take somebody else's hand off of my future and take ownership myself, that this is an opportunity to literally, we can take ownership of our future. I mean, I'm not talking just physically, but also financially, mentally, spiritually, in every sake of the meaning of the word, that we get to take ownership. And that's the passion that fuels you.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Vance, can I just throw one comment in there?
Absolutely.
When you said that you get frustrated when people are looking to the government to take responsibility for their obesity, their eating habits, or their exercise habits, or lack thereof, that kind of mentality is really an employee mentality. And so in this business, I know Dennis Williams said that, you know, the number one mistake that people make in marketing is spend too much time with the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
So pre-qualifying who you're talking to, you know, with pretty direct questions just to get what their belief system is all about, is really critical, because if they really feel like their health is not their responsibility, you probably don't need to spend a whole lot of time there in a debate about whose responsibility it is, you know, because we're not in the convincing business, we're in the sorting business. And, you know, that might be an indication that you might want to spend some time with somebody else.
Sure. And, you know, you guys have alluded to so many things, man, and I wish we had more time, and we just don't. But the passion that comes from you guys, and it's not just about a 9-year-old boy or about a product experience on a Charlie horse from playing a crazy sport. I'll just call it crazy, Bo, because I watch rugby. I've never participated in it. I know people, you know, personally, locally, that have done it, and it's just crazy. But it's more than just that. You guys have a passion to literally educate people and say, look, this is an opportunity here to take ownership of your own life and get out of, as you said and alluded to, that employee mentality, that our future is entirely in our hands. And if we'll, and I was sitting last night with one of the guys at our Bible study, and he said, you know, I just can't continue doing this. And one of the guys, to my other side, said, is your business down this time of year? And I said, big smile. I said, and I was almost apologetically saying, no, it's been rather consistently good. And, you know, we don't have these waves that people experience. And, you know, when the media is telling us that, oh, this is down and this is going to affect people this time of year, it just doesn't seem to affect us. And I guess that's the wonderful world of network marketing that we live in. But, you know, Bo, Cindy, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story, because I think you, I came into this thinking you guys are all you're going to talk about is sports stuff. And you guys have you hit the nail on the head, and literally that regardless of where people are at in the world, if we are literally being a bond slave to somebody else in a career, that we don't have that leverage mechanism. We're somebody else's hand is on that faucet to fill our reservoir, and you know, if they start adjusting that faucet or changing things, and exactly like Bo, you had said that you know, they look at having two or three other people come in to replace us and pay them less, well, you know, all for it, because, you know, it's just the way the world is, so.
Hey, Brent, just one more comment about network marketing, which was the biggest hurdle that I had to get over. The other light bulb that went off in my head was when I went down to Australia, and this lady came up to me, and she said, "Are you Cindy Brock?" And I thought, uh-oh, are you with the police? And she said, "You don't know me, but you told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told me I invested in Niken products, and as a result of me doing that, my son no longer has seizures."
Mm.
The power of having an indirect effect on a global scale on the enhancement of somebody else's health is, I don't know any other business like that.
You never had that experience, selling somebody some nice-looking tile, in other words?
Absolutely not.
Okay, and I would imagine, Bo, people don't get that jacked up about seafood.
Not like that, no.
No.
But the fact is, we weren't even there. I mean, just traveled across the globe and, you know, into these places we'd never been, to these people that we'd never met. But it was the ripple effect that we were having in the world as a result of doing Niken through a network marketing distribution system.
Sure. Sure, exactly. Well, yeah, again, you guys, you got me excited, and I think I might have to go take a shower and get out of my pajamas and go out and talk to people or something. But thank you guys for being with us. I appreciate your time, especially with everything else that's going on this year, and I want to remind everybody, if you've got somebody that you think what Bo and Cindy have shared, if you think this story will impact their life, go on to growinginwellness.com. Again, that's growinginwellness.com, and it'll be there in a few days or maybe even a few hours, depends on Brad's workload right now. But check out the other recordings that are there, other interviews, and their story will be available. And this is a good time of year to think about, and I'll just throw this little plug in, just like Niken's auto ship program, so you make sure our consumables are coming in every single month. Brad has set that up through these interviews, so you won't miss one if you can't catch the time and you're not able to jump online. If you want to have them coming into your home every single, I don't know, I can't remember if he does it every week or every, you know, once a month or whatever, but he'll make sure you get them. And there's other little things he throws in, so check that out when you're on the website. And a quick reminder, next week we have from mild manner piano instructor to secret agent wellness ambassador, Carolyn Bond, who is a Royal Diamond with Niken. Again, one of those people who literally has not been in the limelight. You haven't heard of a bunch of big waves from a powerful, powerful story. And here's one of those people that, you know, you don't think about a piano teacher, you know, one that gives piano lessons, of being somebody that's really going to, you know, make a big impact in the world, that this gal definitely has. So she will be with us next week, and we'll go from there. So again, Bo, Cindy Buck, thank you guys so much for being with us. Want to wish everybody an early Merry Christmas, and stay warm, utilize the far infrared products, and keep introducing and share with people, and take advantage of this last 2 weeks of December. Do not let all the other things get in your way, because this is the time of year that people are thinking about that transition for next year and starting to set those resolutions. Maybe a resolution would be to take ownership. That's what Bo and Cindy have been talking about. Take ownership of their lives, physically, financially, mentally, spiritually, in every way. And Niken could be the vehicle to change all that. So you guys, want to wish you a wonderful weekend. Look forward to talking to you next week. And so be safe, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks so much, man.
You're welcome.